Okay, so our sign. Yeah, sorry. You want to go a little bit? I think they'd rather be sleepy. Yeah. Our sign said that the first emptiness you ever see directly will be the emptiness of. Good, come on. Or Jennifer, or whatever it is, right? And we're not going to say me, even. It's going to be Vilma or Jennifer, or, okay? Like that, all right? So, rather than the emptiness of Michael's parts, Michael's arm, etc., okay? Right? Rather than. Got it? Just nod. I know it's late in the term. Okay. Then somebody comes along and says, are you telling me that in order to achieve nirvana, you don't have to perceive that things have no nature of their own? Things being a code word in Madhyamika for the parts of a person, including their world, right? Are you telling me you just have to see the emptiness of Rob to get to nirvana? Is that what you're saying? Okay? Did we say that? No, we just said the first emptiness you see is going to be wrong, of wrong. But we didn't say you didn't have to see the emptiness of other stuff to get to nirvana. But he's jumping to that conclusion in the first place, and probably other conclusions, okay? Then they go off into a long thing. That it's neither true that the person, to be Michael is to be Michael's parts, neither is it true to be Michael is not to be Michael's parts. Okay? Is to be Michael to be Michael's hand? Is to be Michael not to be Michael's hand? Right, neither one. Okay? Because if you don't have a hand, I mean, most of the human parts. Okay. Which is to say it's not the case that the Michael is self-standing. And we said that's the Mahamudra version of no driver. Okay? Michael's not the driver of his parts. Okay? First you figure that out. And then a disciple for whom that presentation is the good one, because each disciple needs a different presentation. They meditate, they keep all their practice nicely, and then they reach the goal of that meditation, which is they see emptiness directly. Okay? And that's true because they can have a yogic direct perception. You can see emptiness directly. Almost outside of the physical and mental senses. It's a separate kind of perception, okay? If that person in question who just reached the direct perception of emptiness because they were thinking about the driver thing, the driver of the parts, okay? If that's the first time they've seen emptiness, now they're on the path of seeing. Okay? If they've already seen emptiness directly and they're just kind of doing more of the same thing, it's called the path of habituation, because they are getting used to what they saw. Okay, so if you ever have someone question the translation of the path of habituation, you have the sources here. They get habituated to what they saw, so it's the path of habituation. Okay, then he says these two paths, the path of seeing and the path of habituation, eliminate respectively wrong intellectual ideas about emptiness. And then the very basic mental afflictions that one is born with, and that even bugs have, okay? So, that's where we are. And now we're going to start a new part. Is this part translated?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were following me. Okay.
I think you're still going through 10 translation.
Not quite here yet? Okay.
Still
Oh, you're still on 10. We're still on 10. Okay. Let's see. Whoa. I think you erased it all, Alistair. Oh, sorry. Okay. Still in Tedla? All right, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3.
Deyam tomam ki parche me lam ki bong su yin pe no mo kun sen te ni ki sab pange da chombe debu un sum du chebe che sena kime te.
Okay. Now we're going to put that here. And this, moreover, is how the uninterrupted part of the path is seen. Good. Works to eliminate the mental affliction. The pay is here, okay? Which means everything before that is the... There has to be a therefore after that, you see? So, this is moreover how the uninterrupted path of seeing works to eliminate. He didn't say mental afflictions, did he? And you have to be really careful, because there might be something that's not a mental affliction. You see what I mean? So you'd want to say, works to eliminate negativities or something like that. This one. Yeah, that being the case, one... Munsum to Che. How do you want to try? What did you put for Munsum to Che? Munsum means direct, like direct perception is. Yeah?
I retranslated this and you don't have it. What I put when I retranslated is one directly produces the result and becomes.
That's okay. You said directly produces, right?
Yeah.
You could just say brings about. It's a little bit tricky word. Okay, it's different from musu chempa. Get it? Munsu de chempa is different from musu chempa. Say musu chempa. That means to do it directly. And munsu de chempa means to make it appear. That's all. It's an idiom. Okay? Alright, that being the case, one brings about. Or I would say one thus brings about. Brings about the result. Of becoming an enemy destroyer. By eliminating. The seeds of the mental afflictions, both. What's kunhen? Yeah, it's an abbreviation for kundak dang henge. Say kundak dang henge. So kundak means learned, right? During the course of your life, like. The fact that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I mean, that idea, the idea about Santa Claus is learned, right? It's not something you were born with. I mean, your parents taught you about Santa Claus. But the idea that you can get a cookie by not sharing cookies, by being faster than the other people in the class, or sitting closer to the person who's baking today, Henke. That's everybody has that. It's inborn in the mind. Okay, so eliminate both the seeds of men, both learned and inborn, right? But the big interesting thing here is the last two words, the last two syllables, which is
Serna.
What does Serna mean? Somebody claims. Somebody makes this claim. That means that all the paragraphs back to where somebody started to make a complaint have been a quotation. This, all the paragraphs up to now have been one huge complaint about us. Okay? Alright? Got it? So now we gotta go back and put that in quotation marks, or we have to make it a statement, indented, to make it more clearly, because it goes on so long, it goes on for maybe 2 pages, that if we don't make it obviously someone talking, we're gonna be in trouble. Okay? So let's go back. It goes all the way back up to right, this paragraph right here. Let us investigate some questions that might come up when we say what? What did we say before that started his complaint? What did we say? He said, are you telling me you can't achieve nirvana, that you can achieve nirvana without seeing the emptiness of Rob's hand, arm, etc.? What did we say? What? Yeah, we said it's relatively easier to see emptiness with Ben than it is to see with Ben's parts. Okay? Alright? Got it? So, and that triggered his attack, which, you know, had no foundation. But that's the way attacks are. Okay. So I'm going to indent it. Yeah. The only clue is when you hit Sanda.
Yeah, but is there a clue on the other end? Like on the beginning end?
Yeah, here he said, Kachignare.
Right.
Right here.
So you have to wait for Kachignare?
Yeah, you have to wait for the Sanda. Yeah, now it felt like his argument started, ended at Tal already, but it wasn't the case. His argument went on for like a page.
Does that sometimes happen in a Tal?
It happens sometimes, yeah. So I'm just going to go through and indent everything to make it clear that he's still talking. You see? All this stuff. I think I did. Oh, you're right. The end quote. Okay. Oops. Stop. Okay, now I'm going to review with you one more time what I said at the beginning of class. He comes and says, are you telling me you can't achieve nirvana without seeing Jigme's parts? I'm sorry, that you can achieve nirvana without seeing Jigme's parts. Are you telling me that? Then he goes on. He says, after all, people learn about emptiness. How? This paragraph, what's it say? How? They investigate their relationship with their parts. Am I the driver of my parts? Right? They don't go and investigate the emptiness of Julia. They go looking at Julia's parts and see if Julia's the driver of those parts or not. And that's how they see emptiness. And he's really slick because he wraps it in all this true stuff. Right? Do you have to study first? Yes. Do you have to contemplate first? Yes. Is thinking about Julia's parts useful in whether she's the driver of those parts? Whether or not she's in charge of her arm? Is Julia in charge of her arm? If she is, maybe there's a Julia, right? But if there comes a time when Julia can't raise her arm, or if there comes a time when something gets cut and Julia didn't want it, then is she still the driver of her arm? Does she still have control over her arm? Who's running her arm? Who's running her thoughts? Who's the boss of her thoughts? If we were the boss of our thoughts, we'd never have an unhappy thought, right? So, it's by understanding the emptiness of your parts that you see emptiness. Got it? He's describing this whole long process. The driver and the parts, that's an emptiness meditation. Right or wrong? Did Arjuna Gardena have chapters called the whole and the parts? I guess it was in Book Jimba somewhere. I think so, right? There's probably some chapter called the examination of the parts of the whole or something, right? Well, so what is that? Is it an Arjuna Gardena is not an Arya? Or he didn't see emptiness? Or, you know, he says looking at the Julia's parts is useful. And whether we're driving those parts or not, okay? And in fact, If this person keeps meditating on that, they're gonna see emptiness directly. And if that's the first time they've seen it, they'll be on the path of seeing. And if they continue, they'll be on the path of habituation. And if they keep that up, they'll get rid of their learned mental afflictions and their inborn mental afflictions. And if they keep that up, they'll get to arhat, which you said you didn't have to see the emptiness of the parts to get to arhat. Yeah, we never said that. Okay? But he's still on it. He's still to that whole... But it was a very beautiful presentation, right? He said, look, you know, be reasonable. First you have to think about your mind, you have to think about your body and all your parts, and then you have to contemplate, then you have to hear about it in class, and then you have to meditate properly, then you'll see emptiness directly, then you keep that up, you get rid of all your mental afflictions slowly, first you get rid of the learned ones, then you get rid of the natural ones, and then finally you achieve arhat. So what are you talking about that you can't achieve nirvana, that you can achieve nirvana without seeing the emptiness of the parts? What are you saying? Everybody knows this is the process. And Ted, that's the meaning of the first sentence. That's how it all works. He's trying to say that. You know, that's how it all works. That's the whole process. That's how you get rid of your mental afflictions. You have to see the emptiness of Kat's parts. You have to see that she's not the driver of her parts. Okay? Got it? It's a nice argument. What are we going to say? It's our turn now. Okay? It's our turn. Alright, now we get to see. Is this Gyatse? Dwar. Dwar, okay. 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 One, two, three. Gen me te mo po ram shin me pa to pa la ma te pa han sa ran kya tu pe ze yu ki to ma te sam ki ten la pa me. Okay, so I'm splitting the sentence so it doesn't get out of hand, okay? What's gen me te? Yeah, there's no such problem, okay? It's even in modern colloquial Tibetan, and you should learn it, like if you're gonna be around Tibetans, okay? Say, Gyenme.
Gyenme.
Gyenme. Gyenme. They say, Gyenmendu. Say, Gyenmendu. Gyenmendu. Gyenmendu means no problem. No problem. You know, you say, you're sure we're gonna have the car ready on that day? Say, Gyenmendu. And when somebody in India says that, you're a big child. Yeah. How do I say it in Hindi? I don't know.
Kalau.
Kalau.
Kalau means come tomorrow.
Okay. But it's like when they say no problem, and you're like, oh no. Okay. So, kimede. But there's no such problem. Okay. Now I'm going to. Because I had to split the sentence, if the sentence gets out of hand, you have to split it up, you have to break it up. And then you have to add little things to make it flow. So we will say, suppose someone does Tenla Baba, establish, right? Establish. Does go through the steps of learning and contemplation to establish that Kansa means what? It means two things. Kansa means person, it also means a smoking pipe. Same spelling. So here, private person. Kansa. Rankyatupa, self-standing, Rankyatupa. I'll give you an example. When we did a lot of work, refugee work, right? 30 years of refugee work. And then you tell them, you get in the habit, you say, you go in the room and you say, we want you to be Rankyatupa. Which means what? We don't want you to become dependent on foreign funds, on foreign aid. We want to teach you to some skill. We want you to develop some kind of industry. We want you to become Rangya Tupa. So that's what Rangya Tupa means. Like, we want you to be self-sustaining or self-standing, okay? Rangya Tupa. That's substantial. And it has like 6 or 7 different meanings in philosophy, in Buddhist philosophy, okay? And we're not going to go into that, because that would take a couple of weeks. Okay, we'll just say substantial. Okay, so to establish that the person is empty, is devoid of being self-standing, of being substantial in the sense of self-standing. Suppose someone does go through the steps of learning and contemplation to establish that the person is devoid of being substantial in the sense of being self-standing. And that they do so without relying on any understanding that things have no nature of their own. Got it? Okay? So he says, suppose someone goes to class and they hear somebody say, Ian is not self-standing. Okay? He's not self-standing. Right? And they think about that, meaning is there a driver, right? Does Ian control his body and mind, right? And they do that without examining whether the chair has a nature of its own. Got it? They didn't examine whether the chair had a nature of its own. They came to some idea that Ian is not self-standing because they examined whether or not he's a driver of his mind and body. Got it? Could there be such a person?
No.
Could there be such a person who have reached this kind of understanding?
Yes.
Ian is not in control of his body and mind, but who didn't think about the emptiness? But who didn't think about the emptiness of the chair? Yeah, I mean, it's possible, right? They came to some idea about Ian without worrying about the chair.
Right.
Got it? Okay, that's possible. Okay. Before we read it together, I think it's misspelled. Okay? I think it's misspelled. And I think we found the correct spelling already. So what would I do?
Just keep going.
If I wished to perpetuate 5 centuries of an error, I would. But, you know, no, this is a translator's principle, right? Where is Alistair? You have to take a stand. You have to take a stand. You have to say, no errors are getting past me. You know? It's been 5 centuries. Everyone just let it go. No, really. They've been reprinting this book for 5 centuries. And I'm not going to just be lazy. You know? If something looks strange to me, I'm going to stand there like a rock in the river. You know? Like, what is it? Unexpected events. Setbacks occur. Daily, right? And you just say, I'm a rock in the river and it's gonna flow around me because I'm not moving, you know? You like that. You have to be, or you can't be a great teacher. You can't be, right? Or anything, right? Because every enterprise in human life, it has setbacks. So then you say, okay, there's an error here. It's not getting past me, you know? I'm gonna hold firm. I'm gonna check. You know? I'm going to check and clean it up. Like that. And as a translator from Diamond Mountain, you got to be one of these rocks. Or anything from Diamond Mountain. You know? You just got to take a scan and say, you know, I'm doing it. You know? I'm just doing it. Okay? So no matter what comes, they can flow around me. You know? So here we go. We're going to look for Gomje Kyenma. I would go to the top of the file and look for it again. If it was me. Okay, Gomche Ki. Right? The question is, was it genitive or was it instrumental? Right? So here we go. Where is it here? What is it here?
Genitive.
It's genitive. Okay. Let's find the next one. What is it here? It's instrumental. It's wrong. Okay. For 5 centuries, it's wrong. So you just stand up and say, I'm going to fix it, you know. Right? Go check it here, huh? This is a small example. It doesn't make any sense with the instrumental, okay? It's a small example, but it applies to everything you do in life. You know, you just take a stand and you fix it, okay? And there's a little tension sometimes. Okay, here we go. How did we translate it about? I don't remember. Let's go see. Without losing what? Any of the necessary components of meditation. Oftentimes, this refers to the posture, but it can also refer to the five. What is it? How many problems? How many antidotes? Five problems, eight antidotes. You know, if they keep their all the, what do you call it? All the components of meditation, meaning if they have all the fixes there, all the antidotes ready, if they have their posture correct, if they're in the right kind of place, conducive place, you know, if they keep everything you need for good meditation, right? So here we go. So we're just going to cop that. And how did we start? It was like a suppose, right? See? And suppose too that they continue meditating on this without losing any of the necessary components of, this meditation. Then there's an idiom here that translators will have to learn. You'll never find it in any dictionary, I don't think, unless you hypertext our ACIP materials someday. Yudachuk. So yudachuk. Chuk means to stick something in somewhere, like cookie kala chuk. Say cookie kala chuk. Maybe it's time, I don't know. It means to stuff a cookie in your mouth. Chuk means to stuff. Okay? But yudachuk is an idiom that means suppose we allow the possibility. Okay? Yudachuk means, it's like, suppose we stuck in a happened. Okay? Suppose, yeah. So how do we say that? And suppose even that it were possible that they then perceived. This is a munsum tu, okay, Ted? As opposed to munsum tu chepa. Then here it means directly, okay? It confuses lots of translators. Munsum tu has two vastly different meanings. Munsum tu can mean directly perceive, and it can, munsum tu chepa means to bring something into actual existence. There's an English word. To actualize, yeah, that's perfect, yeah, to actualize. But here it's directly. That they're impossible then that they perceive directly that thing. You could say the truth of what they were meditating upon. He just dissed the other guy. How? Why? Big diss happened right here. Big diss happened. Okay, so somebody, Ian was meditating on how there's no one in control, there's no driver of the body and the mind. Okay, yeah, suppose so. Suppose he understood that. And then suppose he went home and he to his tent and he like meditated on it all the time. You know? And then, and then suppose someday, because of that meditation, he saw the truth of what he was trying to meditate. He didn't see emptiness. He never said emptiness. Our side never said, well, then suppose he saw emptiness. Right? Why? Because it ain't emptiness. It's not emptiness. To see that you are not in control of your body and mind is a step towards emptiness. It's not emptiness. Got it? Okay? So the other guy's argument is being blown away. Got it? Did he meditate on his parts? Yes. Did he meditate on that he's not the driver of his parts? Yes. Did he work on it a lot? Yeah. And then did he see the object of that directly? Yes. So what? He didn't see emptiness. Okay, got it? Got it? Okay? Alright? It's a little tricky here. It's very subtle because the other guy was sensitive enough to say, Chedu Jawin Dilja. The other guy was sensitive enough in his argument to say, Chedu Jawin Dilja. What did he say? Yeah, a disciple for whom that would be an appropriate meditation. He thought by throwing that in, he'd get away with it. Okay? He said the person couldn't handle the deeper meditation. The person couldn't skip to the real emptiness. So we had him on the driver thing. We had him on the lower Mahamudra thing. He's trying to pass it by us that way. He's trying to get it by us that way, right? But even if you design a lower meditation for somebody who can't handle a full emptiness meditation, and if they succeeded that meditation, have they seen emptiness?
No.
No. Okay? So he can't get away with it. He can't throw in Chaitanya Jaya Dolja and think he's going to get away with it. Got it? Yeah.
He doesn't say the yogic direct perception here. Does yogic direct perception in the previous one necessarily mean that it's emptiness?
That's a good question. I don't think you'll find it in Scripture. I don't think you'll find the answer in Scripture. I would say that the word Nyanjo Munsun is so often connected with the direct perception of emptiness that it probably would not be allowed to say you in Prasangika that you used it to see that the driver is not there. Okay? Although maybe you do. See? Because it has slided into a connotation of the direct perception of emptiness. Okay? That's all.
But would a lower school hold?
Of course they would hold that.
Yogic direct perception.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, in fact, the Sautrantika, the second school, is the one that sets forth this kind of perception. And we accept it as applying to the direct perception of emptiness. Normally, that's the only context in which it comes up. Whether it could happen in other contexts, I don't know. You'd have to search the whole database for Nyandar Munsen. And then for that, you'd have to have a few weeks of extra time. Okay. And here, we polish him off, okay? Well, let's do it here. One, two, three.
Narma Thopa Sartu Thopa Tong Lam Tang Tok Sim Kong Ba Kim Den Tu Che Pa Gong Lam
What's the important word here? What's the important syllable here?
Ma.
Ma. Say ma.
Ma.
Main.
Mayin.
Okay, Mayin is like it ain't. Okay, it ain't. It ain't what? Let's go up and take our old word in. Okay. We'll just take our old wording so that the argument sounds. It flows. You see. If this is something that this person has not perceived previously, and they perceive it now for the first time, that's still not what?
The
I perceive. And as they continue now to habituate themselves to this thing, which they've already perceived. Neither is that the
path
of habituation. Good. Okay? This is really, really important. So, who taught the emptiness meditation that you should think about whether you're in control of your mind and body? Who taught it first time?
Lord Buddha.
Lord Buddha, right? And it's not true that you can see emptiness that way, right? If you succeed at the meditation that he recommended, have you seen emptiness?
No.
No. And that's so profound in Buddhism. That's so profound to say that the founder of the religion can give presentations which are incorrect. Because what? It was helpful for a certain disciple. It was helpful for somebody at the time. Okay? That's so profound for a religion to admit it. Right? And to make it part of their religion, right? And then you have to expand it to life itself, right? So, someone says something wrong, right? A person or someone does something wrong. What can't we assume? We can't assume that they're not a Buddha. We can't assume that, you know? Someone does something unexpected to you. Someone says something about you which is not true at all. And then you can't assume anything. If you're a Buddhist, right? If you understand scripture, if you understand what Lord Buddha himself taught wrong, openly wrong, right? Baldly wrong, you know, like shamelessly wrong, you know? Then you're stuck in a weird world, you know, as a Buddhist. Then you can't assume that anything someone says or does which is wrong is not without an enlightened intention, right? You can't. So you can't get too worried about stuff, you know? You just have to go, you know? Like, okay, got it? It's a whole thing. Once you're a Buddhist, you have to flow with things that you know are even mistaken because you don't know the intention of the Buddha. There may be a bigger thing coming a week later that you don't know about. And it's all set up. And then you just have to accept that, right? Possibility. Yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk to this or not, but how does this jive with the advice that you must correct people when they're teaching something wrong? Because you're saying just flow with it, just go with it. Is that what you're saying? So how does that, how can you then say wrong and not helpful versus wrong and helpful so I won't correct you?
You have to. What Lama Trisama said was, well, but suppose you know that something is wrong, should you speak up? I think you have to use your wisdom, right? Would it be helpful not to speak up? I had a dream about the Dalai Lama once, many, many years ago. And we were in a press conference together. And he was up in the front, of course, I was off to the side. And some reporter asked him, so this emptiness thing, it means everything's just black, right? And nothing matters, you know? And then I'm like, oh, His Holiness, let me answer, I'll blow him away, you know? You know, you're from Tibet, I'm American, I speak English, you know? I'll just blow him away, you know? I just get him, you know? And he turned to me and he said, you know, sometimes it's more important to be diplomatic than to be right, you know? And I woke up, you know, and then so I think you have to judge the situation, you know. You have to judge the situation.
Can we really say this is wrong? Can we say it's less solid?
Well, I think that's also an important point to make. I phrased my question to you very carefully, you know, because I almost said, would this help you to see emptiness? And I retracted it and I went a different way, right? Because then you'd have to say, of course it helps to see emptiness. Will you see, what I said wrong was, if I was in the debate ground, I would have already been crushed, right? I said, is this going to make you see emptiness?
Yeah, sure.
And you say, yeah, but it's not the only thing. You'd have to keep going. But it's a step, You know, so you have to be careful how you phrase. You're correct. Yeah. Okay, here we go. That was it, right? Up to Chitte? All right, okay. The pieces are right, the pieces are there. It's just that this is the most difficult venue to ever translate, I think, except for maybe Blue Annals or something, like history books from 800 AD or something. Those are a little difficult. But this is probably the hardest otherwise, okay? So all the pieces are there, it's just the argument, right? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. 대니기요몽쿤샹키사드봄미니베딜데장둔드자바체레치데 Okay. Neither is it the case that either of these would have the power to what or bomb. Yeah, to eliminate the seven. Yeah, the seeds of the mental afflictions. Whether they be that learned or thank you. Yeah, important. Okay. Okay? Meaning what either of these?
The path of habituation and meditation?
Seeing the driver for the first time or subsequently.
Yeah. Seeing that Ian's not the driver of his part for the first time, or continuing to see that thing directly. Okay? Neither of those. He already said those are not the
path of seeing
and the path, not the path of seeing and not the path of habituation. And we said neither is it the case that these two direct perceptions, what? Of what? That Ian's not the driver of his body and mind, right? Neither, or getting used to that idea that directly, neither is it the case that they could get rid of the seats for the mental function. Okay?
Yeah.
Which is to say that they're not
on the path of seeing,
they're not the path of seeing and they're not the
path of
habituation, because that's what the path of seeing and the path of habituation do. Okay? He's really dissing it now. First of all, they're not the path of habituation. They're not the path of seeing and they're not the path of habituation. And second of all, they couldn't get rid of the seeds for your mental afflictions anyway. Okay? Because you haven't seen
emptiness.
Okay, good. New bay dwar. Bay. P-A-S. Bay. Yeah, by, therefore, we must interpret this deer here, where?
In this case, or this instance?
Who would take that whole shtick as figurative? Who would take that whole shtick as just as Buddha just making up something to help a lower person?
A higher school?
Yeah, Peter. Here in the Prasangika, you know, in our school, you know, but he never says that. He says, therefore when we must interpret this here, he just says here, meaning in the Prasangika, okay, as being, interpret this idea here as being presented figuratively. Yeah, Changden, right? Not what? Literal. Which is to say, Lord Buddha didn't really mean it when he taught that as emptiness. Got it? Those of you who are new, I mean, this is the Mahamudra, right? These are the lower views of Mahamudra. Is it helpful to realize that you're not the driver of your body and mind? Yes, it's very helpful. Is that emptiness? No. Okay. If someone did come up and say it was emptiness, like somebody like Gautama, would we have to say he was a fool or he was wrong? No, you could say he just was speaking figuratively. He wanted to lead people further. Got it? Okay. Which is a really, really important skill. I think as you teach longer and longer, you will have to call upon this skill more. You'll learn. You know, you'll go to a yoga center and you'll teach the real thing, you know, and everybody will fall asleep or leave at the break, you know, and then you go home and you're like, you know, maybe next time I'll adjust it a bit, you know. You kind of get into the oneness of everything and, you know, tell some stories and more people stay, you know what I mean? You know, or you might want to give a whole Christian talk or something, you know, anything like that. Okay, all right. And that's what enlightened beings do. And it's not somehow dishonest or less than sincere. You sincerely want to help the people. You can't help them if they leave the first day. Okay? All right. I think we need cookies. It's like fourth week blues here. Okay? I hope you have something really...
You have 400 cookies.
It's not. Just put some stuff in there. Okay. Yeah. Okay, take for example the mind-only school. Somebody tell me the mind-only school's version of the Mahamudra meditations. There's two of them, I think.
Three and five.
Yeah, but what's the thing about subjects and objects? Well, jump in there. Says Mercedes said, some synapse opened up. Cool, very cool, very cool. Sultan, say Sultan. Sung Zingi. Sema. Zeshengi. Toa. Wow, made my day. Okay. This came just in time. Okay, you can share this. Meaning, okay? I always like this demonstration. Meaning, what? With me and the cooking, meaning what? Good, beautiful, yeah. You better stop, because you're okay. Meaning, I have to sit down there, and I like to be okay. Meaning, me and the cookie have not come from a separate karmic seed. One karmic seed in the past, when I gave away cookies, has created the cookie for me to eat, and me to eat it. Got it? So it's not enough to say the cookie came from karma. I put myself here to eat the cookie. I put the cookie here to eat, and I put myself here to eat the cookie. And that came from one thing in the past, which is very subtle. It's very beautiful, right? It's nice. Which also applies to every irritating person you ever met. Okay? Not only did you create them, but you put yourself in the room to experience them. No, and that's why we meditate. That's why we use this meditation. Okay. Next question. Is the fact that me and the cookie have not come from a separate karmic seed emptiness?
No.
You're so hot tonight. I'm sorry. Okay, no, it's probably you talk the same thing. He said according to whom? Who's dear? No, who's dear? Not just Uma. Tengyurma. It sounds like Tengyurma, right? The Pasangika. They would say that's not really emptiness. Okay? All right.
But they don't come from the same seed.
By the way, this is also misspelled, okay? How do you spell it, Dolchen? Do you know? It's not Dolchen, it's Dolchen. You could look it up in the database. Do you need to know how to spell it to find it?
Yeah, need a few letters.
Yeah, you just need a few letters. So let's look up Dolchen. Let's look it up in Vajrayini literature. I don't know. Yeah, there it is. Okay? Which is? R-D-U-L. Okay? So we'll correct that. Got it? Okay? The mind-only school talks about the cookie and the eater as being devoid of any separate substance. That's what they're called, separate substance. Which in their school means separate currencies. Okay? Got it? Just nod. I think you got distracted by something. Is me and the cookie come from a separate substance? No, because substance in the mind-only school means a separate karmic seed. Okay? Got it? And for them, that's emptiness. Alright? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Teche dong gaure ru me kong fe ki nian la dong ma chao kong pe kong che dong ni dong ba yue ba dang. They would say that that if the disciple for whom this particular idea were taught was to for whom this was taught were to continue to meditate upon it without losing any of the necessary. What are you eating a banana for in my class? If I was Lama Krishna, I'd kick you out for not eating a cookie. Alright.
Lower school.
Lower school. Okay. He's a Chiri Jai Dojo. Okay. Okay? So, in their school, if a person continued to think about the cookie and them coming from the same karmic seed, which would impel you to share the cookies, then eventually, if they kept that up, meditating properly, okay? Like, everyone's agreed there has to be properly. They can't be like slouching, and they can't be have mental agitation, and you know they can't be like eating too much or something. Okay, and if they kept that up, then they would perceive emptiness. Okay, they would say that such a thing existed, okay? Such a disciple. I'm just covering the year, okay? All right? One, two, three. Now that you're all like hyped up. Dei Sachi Tam Lam Chi Masu Yo Bam Drip Ni Bong Me Lam Sha Chi Tam Dim What's ten and what's og? Yeah, above and below. You're going to get in Lama Christie's class. I don't know if it's today or both classes, I think. You're going to get a ten moon and an og loon. What's that? The wind in the upper wind and the lower wind, okay, which is like prana and apana, right? And then the goal of yoga is to bring them together at the heart, okay? Of Dorjeng Denpa, right? So, Dengne is different, you know? Dengne means following from that, on top of that, you see? On top of what? On top of what? What just happened?
The mind-only presentation.
No, but what just happened to the mind-only guy? He was thinking about the cookie. And he kept contemplating it correctly.
Without stop using the phone, and he had the direct
perception. And then he had the direct perception there.
According to the mind on the screen.
Yeah. And then he built on that. You could say he built on that. Okay? And they would say that this person builds upon this. And gains the Satchu, all 10 levels of a, yeah, of a Bodhisattva, and traverses, the Chimasum, Chima, the latter three paths. What are the three latter paths? What are the last three of the five paths? You could just say what? Paragate, Parasangate, Bodhisattva. I mean, and Diamond Mountain people would know what you're talking about. Right? Because those are talking about the last three paths. Right? And traverses the latter three paths. And Kongwas the Dribni. And eliminates. Both types of obstacles. What are they? Yeah, mental frictions and obstacles. Okay. And listen, what's obstacle? Minus and minus minus. This whole presentation of the process, though. Would be interpreted here. Here where? Yeah, as being figurative. Then he's got a taboo there, and I'm going to go stick it up way up here. This is similar, for example, to what the mindfulness course says. Okay, so let's talk about this. What's similar to what? He says, oh, it's just like the mind-only thing. What's similar to the mind-only thing? Yeah, that whole long shtick about the driver. That whole long shtick about the driver. That's just like the mind-only shtick. Okay, why? Then he goes on this long trip. Who's he? We. Ranglu, right? He says, you know, it's just like the mind-only school. First they say there's a cookie, and then there's a perceiver of the cookie, and they say that emptiness means that the perceiver and the cookie don't come from a different karmic seed. Right?
Right.
By the way, he throws in another mind-only idea. Did you notice? Partless particles. Partless atomic particles. Okay? Who has that idea in the world nowadays? Science? Okay, science? What is the cookie made of? What is the cookie made of? What holds up the building? The building will fall one day. The roof will fall one day. Will you be in it? Will you be in the building?
No.
Yeah. No. And your mind goes to the, like, did Bert, like, mix the mud right? You know? Did Michael leave a hole under the foundation or something? You know, your mind goes to particles. Your mind goes to the integrity of the cement. And right? That's where your mind goes. Your mind goes to the integrity of the particles that make up the walls. And that's where your mind goes, right? And then if I question you, you know, well, what's the smallest piece of those particles? You'd have to say, you know, a quark or what is it now? How far did they get there? An atomic particle, that's the smallest part. And then I'd say, is it the smallest, really? And you say, no. And I say, why? And you say, because you could split it. And I say, why? Because it has a left side and a right side. And I say, well, why does it have to have a left side and a right side? Because if it didn't, how could it hold up anything? If it didn't have any width, how could it hold up anything? You know, how could it support the wall? Right? It must have some width. Right? So they have to say, oh yeah, there's particles that have no parts. There's things so tiny that you can't divide them. They have no left side, they have no right side. Right? They have to say that. They have to say that. At some point you get so fine into the atom that it has no parts anymore. You're down to the smallest, the most subatomic-y particle. Okay? No, really. And they keep finding the next one, right? And they will continue. Because there's no such thing. There is no last one. Because you can always divide it. If you couldn't divide it, it couldn't hold up the wall because it would have no width. Okay? Right? No, really. So what's the option to that? Yeah, love holds the wall up. Love holds the wall up. A concern for the comfort and safety of others holds the wall up. That's profound. I mean, the next book should be a refutation of science itself. But I prefer to think of it as the fulfillment of science itself. You know, science is not so bad. It just needs that one last step. So I wouldn't get into this, what do you call it, confrontational thing with science. You know, you're okay, you can blow up a city. But there's one more step. You know what I mean? There's one more step like that. And I think, but mind-only is a lower school, and they still have to talk about atoms, right? They still have to think there's some smallest thing, okay? Got it? But do they accept even an outer form? I thought they were mind-only. I thought mind-only said there were no outer objects. Good. Michael said no outer object distinct from the observer. It's not that they think there's no outer objects at all. It's not that even a mind only thinks that things are
self-existent.
Mind only. Okay? It's not that even that. It's not that the mind only is going. That even they think that things are mind only. Yeah, only mind. Yeah. It's just a name that they were given. Okay? But it's not that they think that. Okay? Alright. How much time I got? She told me to take my time because she wasn't ready for a class. So it's good you made a lot of cookies. Okay, here we go. 1, 2.
You start at 6:30, 7:42.
3. So I still have some time. You let me know.
One, two, three. Sen san pe du ten. Cha me sa pe. Ra pa chi dun ba tang. Be jin be sen ma. Ze shen hi tong me. Tong yi. Chu ki da me. Cha mo. Lin du kyang. Now, it is not the case that the mind-only school would say that the emptiness represented by the fact that outer, the gross outer objects composed of partless, Bill Gates doesn't like partless, atomic particles. Yeah, good for him, right? The fact that gross outer objects composed of partless atomic particles and the correct perceptions which hold to these outer forms are devoid of any. Okay. Could you have a cookie? Are devoid of any separate substance is in fact the lack of self-existence. The subtle. I'll say it in plain English, okay? If you're a mind-only school guy or girl, and you said there's a kind of emptiness between the cooking and the eater, right? They are devoid of any separate seat, any separate coming seat. The fact that me and the cooking don't come from separate seats, okay? The fact that me and that Michael and the cookie don't come from separate seeds, got it? Is that an emptiness in their school?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not the most subtle form of emptiness, even in their school. Even in their school. Okay? Got it? To things. The subtle emptiness of things. Alright? Where he's going, I don't know. Where we're going, I don't know. Okay? Besides the temple here. Okay. One, two, three. Eta sumba da galwe kin me te te lukla chidun ka ne chuki tak me Chamo tenla bebe kapsu Tunma deni ki chinji loktu Chinta sumwa ta trupa de kakne Ramu ki tawa tenla bebe wantu chede And yet there's no problem where saying this I think I have some mistakes here, but I'm going to try and then we might have to go back and change something. And yet there's no problem where
Where the description here is contradicted. And that's because in this system, and here's why. Let's think about the point in this school where they establish the subtle lack of a self to things by what? Chirinka. Chidin ka. That's the ka. What about the chidin? Chirukidin. Yeah, external objects. Okay? Let's think about the point in this school where they establish some lack of self to things by denying the existence of external objects. Okay? all this is just said relative to establishing their own viewpoint once they have disproven that things exist in the way that the two, I'm going to say Dunma's, okay? And we'll talk about it. Dunma's systems, why we hold them to. You have to learn a new word, okay? Say Dunma.
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 And what's dun? Object, okay? That's dun, this dun, okay. Objects, ma? You can say IST, right? Like Majumikans or Minoliists, like that, okay? It's like ISTs, like mawas. So dun ma would be what? Objectist, an objectist, someone who professes objects, okay? Well, in the way that the two schools who profess the existence of objects wrongly hold them to. The mind only is trying to disprove that things could exist in the way that these two schools who say that things do exist as objects say they do. Okay? Let's put it more simply. There's two schools from ancient India that say that things exist in a certain way. They're called objectists. Okay? Two of the classical schools from ancient India think that things exist as objects. What's that mean?
Self-nature.
What kind of object?
External.
External. Okay? External. There's two schools from ancient India that think that there are external things, that there's a jar. They think the jar is external to Michael. Okay? There's two schools. Who? Yeah, the two lower schools. Vaibhashika and Sautantrika. Right? The two lower schools. Alright? The Abhidharma schools and the Logic schools. Okay? They say the thing exists outside. Okay? So, does that mean that the other two great schools, which are Mind Only and Middle Way, Does that imply that they think there are no outer objects?
No.
But why call the first two the outer objectists? Huh?
It's the way they
think. Yeah, it's the way they think the outer thing is there. What do they think? Oh, let me ask you. Does Prasangika, does the highest school of all believe there are outer objects?
Yes.
Yeah. So does that mean it's not being projected from your mind?
No.
So how could it be outer? Is your mind outside?
Yeah.
That's nice, okay? You new people, this is the trick. Is it an outer object in the high school?
Yes.
Is it coming from inside?
Yes.
Yeah. So why can you call it outer? Because the inside sees it as outer. The inside projects it as outer. It looks outer to us. So it's outer. And it works as outer. Right? I can break the jar, but that's not going to make me go crazy. You see? I'm not going to like suddenly lose a part of my mind. Right? So I'm projecting it as an outer thing. So in one way, it is my mind making the cup, but it's not part of my mind, because I'm projecting it as outside my mind. And all things are only as I project them. Got it? It's a little difficult, okay? What about the mind on this goal? Do they think it's outer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are they the mind only school?
We just said
they're called the mind only school, but that doesn't mean they think everything's only mind. Okay. What does it mean when you call it mind only?
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist separate from the same seat. What are the two mind only viewpoints in the Mahamudra? One is that me and the cookie haven't come from a karmic, separate karmic seat. But what was the other one? Say again?
No perfect song or
that.
Say again?
Object doesn't deserve its label by definition.
Oh, yeah. How do you say that in Tibetan?
Is that the wrong one?
Yeah, it's a wrong one. It is a wrong one, something. Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q-Q- Tani. Rangi Tani Gimadrupa. It is not called what it's called by itself. It is not called, the name it is given is not automatic. The name that things have is not automatic. Meaning what? You know, different people could hear the song differently, right? To call Neil Young to call Cowgirl in the Sand a masterpiece, the word masterpiece doesn't apply to the song by itself.
Right?
Somebody else could give it, my college roommate used to call it what? A screaming eunuch. So, you know, probably he perceived the song differently. Okay. Yeah.
The last sentence wrongly hold them to. Who's the them?
That things could exist the way that the two schools, the two lower schools, hold them to. They're denying, the mind only is denying that things could exist the way the lower two schools think they could. That's all. Okay? And we have to come back to this. Okay, we'll come back to this next time we meet. Alright? Because I'm not happy with it. There's some parts not clear here. Right? Who's contradicting and what? Right? We've mentioned that the mind-only school believed that emptiness was what? I'll give you a clue. That the cookie and me could come from a separate currency, right? But they didn't say cookie, they said an outer object composed of partless atoms. Yeah. And then, can the mind only talk about a cookie composed of an outer cookie composed of partless atoms? Can they even talk about that?
No.
What's wrong?
There's no such thing.
That then the Buddha would have never taught the Mainoni school. Who said that? You're in trouble. No, but what's the problem here? The mind-only school, I'll tell you, I'm a mind-only school, okay? I'm a mind-only school guy. Okay, and I said, this cookie, which is outer, composed of partless particles, you know, is not separate from my perceiving it. We don't come from separate consciousness. Is there any problem there so far? Well, there is, because I'm mind-only. And I'm talking about an outer cookie. So already you should be jumping on me. Already you should be jumping on me. What if there is no outer objects? The mind-only school says no outer objects. Yeah, well, that's why he said, I believe, I have to check, okay? But I believe that's why he says here, don't think that their description is already contradicting themselves. Don't think that. That's not the problem here. They're just talking about a partless outer thing in order to hook who? The two lower schools.
Right.
They got to talk about an outer thing, or else the two lower schools wouldn't understand what they're talking about. Got it? So the Chang'e guy is already being Chang'e. The mind-only guy is twisting his presentation to help the two lower schools when his presentation is already twisted relative to the fourth school. Got it?
Right.
Okay? A guy in a school that was twisted because he couldn't handle more is twisting his school because the two schools below him couldn't handle more. Got it? Yeah. Alright? We better stop there while I can still hold the thought. This is the greatest book that I'm aware of to see emptiness with. Okay. Aside, if you're gonna not, unless you're gonna go at it with it through a tantric method, in that case you probably want to study Dorje Daepa or something. But the greatest book, I mean, you need this foundation. You need to study that. You can see emptiness with this. So, you know, if we had to do anything together, it would be to go through this book, and you can smell it. You can smell it, right? So, because they're talking about the right questions. And it's very, very beautiful. You won't get this kind of detail anywhere at all. Not in the tenure of the Kangra. Because those were written for very brilliant disciples who didn't need the detail, really. So this is the greatest detail there is on this planet. This book is the greatest. Not even Jetson Kapa's book is still too general. You get more detailed questions here than even there. So that's why we're using this book, okay? So we're trying to see emptiness and be good, serve others, take care of other people as much as you can. Do holy virtues to the best of your capacity. And then when we meet again, suddenly it will all be clear, okay? Because that's, the computer is made of... No, the projector, the book, the computer, everything, right? Not particles, not electrons, right? Okay? Made of love. So this whole thing of Connie's thing, going out and taking care of these people, is very powerful for seeing emptiness. So you felt that, I think, last week. So in the break, do big virtues, and then in your mind say, I dedicate it to the Uma Chidan. Say Uma,
Uma
Chidan.
Chidan.
Holy words. Say Uma,
Uma
Chidan.
Chidan.
Uma Chidan.
Uma Chidan.
Alright. I know the first thing you remember about class is the cookies. But after that, the karma. Okay. So dedicate the good karma. Alright?
Sashi.